It was curious, she thought, that she couldn't remember an elsewhere or even a becoming where she was. And with no memory of having eaten, she became at once ravenously hungry. And she began to attend to her surroundings. The first thing was a great cabinet, so tall she couldn't be sure if the top top at all, or merely the edge of a recession of some sort in its surface. She walked around it and discovered a small table no higher than her kneecap, upon which stood a pyramid of round, knobby fruit, the size of small plums with rough, yellowish green skin. But she was terribly hungry and had seized the top piece from the pile before the thought was fully formed. Unbalanced, the pile tumbled down, pieces of food thudded on the floor and rolled a little before coming to a rest. The fruit had sweet, slippery flesh and smelled like honey, but the second bite tasted so bitter that it was all she could do to swallow it. Nevertheless, she dropped a piece into each of her skirt pockets in case she would want one later. circle, wondering what she should do next. But where? She stumbled over a large object, a mantel clock that was suddenly underfoot. She squatted down to look at it. Brass, such as might ornament a seaman's cabin. The object confused her. It was either that there were too many hands on the clock face, or that they alternated position as she looked at them. So that every attempt to tell the time resulted in a different reading. By now, her thoughts, which had been so agreeably empty not long before, were overwhelmed with confusion. She flopped down beside the shiny clock and wanted to cry, but she was unable to imagine how, and so got up again because she liked to consider herself a brave little soldier, whatever the occasion. She walked on, feeling neither fatigue nor boredom, for whatever it was she was in search of might be just around the next corner. After a while, in which she took only a few rather hesitant steps, she felt a breeze against her face and heard a fluttering sound. The corridor made a slight curve, and she found herself face to face with an enormous white owl. Perched on the lintel of a small portal opening onto darkness, its powerful scalloped wings folded close to its body and its yellow beak slightly open, it fixed her with its predator's gold eyes. She was terrified and wanted to run, but she didn't have room to turn around in. It was impossible. And so she stood her ground and held her chin up. But now the creature ducked its head, displayed a ruffled white cap, and addressed her in a throaty but familiar tone. "Well, you've certainly taken your time getting here." "It isn't my fault, it's just that I kept losing the way," she said, before she'd even had time to wonder whether or not to answer the bird at all. "But you've kept us waiting all the same," said the owl. "It's obvious you've had no proper upbringing. We're all in mourning, but it's been so tedious waiting. You're no better than a scraped-up gramophone record. Who are you mourning for, then? The owl swiveled his head to peer at her more closely, his eyes catching the light. Why, it's you, of course, he replied, with exquisite simplicity. The little girl was delighted at this, for she saw at once that the bird was a dream. It's a shame, though, she said, to humor him. I haven't lived very long at all. But the bird apparently felt it was time that the interview had ended, for he drew himself up to full height, spreading his feathers into a downy cloud, and sprang into the air above the girl's head, disappearing among the layers of dust that filled the corridor's upper reaches, where she could hear the sound of his great wings beating long after she was unable to see him. As she had come to a dead end in the passageway, she had to crawl on her hands and knees through the small portal in front of her. Then stood up and found herself facing the cabinet. And she saw the events of the story represented in the grain of its surface. The corridors, the fruit, the mantel clock. The bird. The shape of her own face. Looking up, she saw that the cabinet really had no top at all, but sloped gradually upward into the shadows. But her thoughts were already becoming indistinct. And when the cabinet doors swung open, she stepped inside without hesitation, and the panel doors closed behind her.